Welcome to The Point Home Services, the podcast where real contractors share real strategies. We cut through the noise and get straight to the point with the contractors that are working in the field right now. If you run a home services business and want to lead better, grow faster, and stay sharp, you're in the right place. Now, before we get started, I need you to do one thing. Only 30% of our listeners are following the show, so stop what you're doing, hit follow, and let's get to the point.
This is To The Point, a Rhino experience, voted one of the top home services marketing and operations podcasts, cutting through the bullshit and getting to the point.
To The Point listeners, it is going to be a great episode. I'm extremely excited about our guest, a buddy of mine. We've become friends and I love this. That's kind of the coolest part about my company is I get to meet a lot of amazing people and I've actually been able to build a lot of friendships from it. And this guy is one of my buddies. And so I'm excited to have him on the show today and really brag on him. Because when we first met back in early 2020, it was this conversation. I said like, hey, the market that you're in is one that I know how to really compete in. I don't have anybody that's down there. And I want to use you as like a really great case study. And now here we are 2 years later and I get to brag on him and I'm extremely excited because he's built a great business. And you listeners are going to be able to relate to a lot of things. He went from, you know, about 4 to 25 million in, you know, in the past 4 years. And it's just a cool story, man. And he's a good dude and I'm excited. And our guest today is the owner of Barty Heating, Cooling and Plumbing. And his name is Mr. Adam Barty. He's from the ATL. Welcome to Atlanta where the players play and we ride on like every day. Well, not technically, you're actually in Norcross, but listen, that's the ATL, baby.
We're close.
Hey, Adam, welcome to the show, my man.
Glad to be here, man. Love it.
We're here. I'm excited to share your story. Hey, real quick, anytime I think of Atlanta, it always makes me think there's like a big hip hop community in Atlanta. Like there's a lot of really great rappers that are from the ATL.
Huge.
I was down there. I walked into the gas station and I saw Rap Snacks. You ever heard of those?
No, man.
Yeah. They were in a gas station and it basically was like Fetty Wap or somebody on like the face of this Rap Snacks. And I was like, I gotta get these because it just seemed funny. Oh, they tasted like shit, but it was cool that they were putting rappers on the front of the Rap Snacks. So, hey, so we're going to play a quick game. Will you indulge with me?
Yeah.
I really hope that, you know what, actually, so for our listeners, I always like to kind of do something and surprise them. And I didn't tell Adam what I was going to do, but I always like to do something just to try and see like what their personality is like, you know, beyond the business owner. But we're going to play a little game here and it's called Name That Rapper. Okay. So hopefully you like hip hop. I know you're a secret underground hip hop lover. Don't even lie. But
I'll do my best.
Are you good? Okay. So, because I started thinking through like the last time I had Mike Wilson in here, the previous week and he's down from Salt Lake City from Any Hour Guys. And I just had recently watched Top Gun because at that time the movie had just come out. I'm not sure when this episode airs, but in comparison to the dates, but I was trying to figure out his call sign. And so his call sign we came down to was Biscuit, which is perfect. But this one, we're going to be named that rapper. But first, before we do that, I was trying to think through like, man, what would a good rapper name be for Adam Barty? And so as I sit there and thought through it, I thought I did what any good internet marketing guy would do. And I thought, well, shit, I can't figure it out. I can't come up with something. And so I'm just going to Google it. So I don't know if you know this, but you know who, there's a famous rapper, and he's not from Atlanta, but his name is Austin Richard Post. Do you know who that particular rapper might be?
Never heard of him.
Post Malone.
Okay.
And you know how he came up with his rapper name?
Tell me.
A rap name generator that was on Google. That's literally how he came up with this rap name. So I did the same thing for you. Would you like to hear some options? And let's go with the best one.
Let's do it.
You ready? It. I hope some of your team is listening to this right now too. On one of these sticks. So first one we got Adam B Sharp. Okay. Adam B Sharp. Good start. This one's pretty funny. Barty B.
I get that a lot.
Barty B.
Oh yeah.
Shit. Sure. That was really good.
Yeah. I got a reservation in, and they're like, Cardi B. Okay. Yeah.
Cardi B is pretty good. I didn't even think about that one. So that was pretty good. That name generator spit that out. We got Bardi Hardy. That you've had to have heard that one a ton.
Bardi Hardy.
That new?
That's new.
Really? Yeah. That'd be a great name for your boat. Do you have a boat? If you have one, you should name it Bardi Hardy.
Yeah, I'm writing that down. Bardi Hardy.
Also got, this one's going to be slightly inappropriate, so Lord, I apologize. I got Bardi's Nuts. Okay. Is that different? Hey guys, listeners, this isn't me. This was the rap name generator, okay? And then we got, this one's pretty stupid, but stupid funny. Bardi Shark. Doo, 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 doo.
My kids would like that.
Mine too. I'm sticking with either Bardi B or Bardi Hardy. Those are mine too. Okay. All right. Perfect. Done. Deal is sealed. So here's what we're going to do. Just a couple of these and listeners, I hope that you guys play along with us too. And you just yelled out wherever you're at. I don't care if you're at the gym, you're driving, you're doing whatever you're on the plane. You yell out the answer as soon as you know what it is. But we're going to name some of these ATL rappers. I'm going to play a song clip, Adam, and you need to say out loud what rapper from the ATL this is. Are you ready? All right, number one. What's that?
Ludacris.
There you go. Luda. That was, I went to his concert in January. My wife, Ann, and I are doing one concert every single month, all different kinds of genres, and he was the one that kicked it off, and he was fantastic. That was easy one, man. That was a softball, bro.
I appreciate it.
Okay. Hey, do me a favor and just turn that down a hair in my headphones, because as much as I love it loud, it was a little bit nutty. Clip number two. You know it?
Yeah.
T.I.?
Yeah.
Tenant Improvements. That's him. Tip. Good one. Okay, one more. Gosh, you're good at this. Go ahead. Can you feel that B-A-S-S, babe? But I know y'all wanted that 808. Can you feel that B-A-S-S, babe? I like the way you move. All right. Did you know that one?
I passed.
Okay. Yeah, that's, dude, those are the, see, that's old school. That's old school. Last one. This one's like got to be the easiest of all of them. This has got to be the most known Atlanta rapper right here. Let's go. You can do it all by yourself. Let me see you do it. Hey. Okay.
Lil Jon.
And the East Side Boys. Gosh, dude, he's awesome. So if you actually go back and look at all the songs that he's done or collaborated with, he's got so many bangers. There's so many. Man.
Yeah. Dude. Made them all for the club.
You know what? You got an A plus. I'm proud of you.
Appreciate
well done. Okay. Listeners, I apologize if you hated that whole segment because you don't like hip hop, but hey, you made it through and now we're going to get to the good shit. So I appreciate you. Adam, thanks for playing along, bro. I'm excited to kind of get into your story a little bit. Bardi B. And talk about Bardi. Bardi's been around since what? It was 89? Is that when it technically started?
Yeah, my parents founded the business in 1989.
Got it. So let's just go ahead and jump right into like how you got into trades. I'm guessing this is going to be a pretty easy thing to determine since you just said your parents were in the business. And but let's go ahead and just talk about how you got into the trades. And let's go ahead and take it all the way up to where you're at today, and then I might just stop and ask questions along the way, but let's go ahead and jump into it, brother.
The first time or the second time, I had a little hiatus. But so of course, you know, my parents started the business, so I had a big passion for cars growing up, and pretty quickly my dad was like, you know, if you want a car, you better get a job because I'm not buying you one. So
good for him.
So when I was 14, going into my freshman year of high school, started working, you know, the first summer at Bardi, doing installs and sweating in attics, falling through attics, you know, in crawl spaces, all that fun stuff.
Wait a second. Did you say falling through attics?
Oh yeah.
Please explain.
There's nothing like, you know, having a furnace in your hand and just stepping back and putting your foot all the way through the ceiling.
Oh, shit.
It happens to everybody.
Is that that's an initiation, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Got it.
Yeah. Customers.
Right? Oh, I'm sure they love that. I'm sure that stuff made your dad real proud.
So yeah, did that first summer. Second summer came back, ran service, learned a little bit about service. I was, you know, as a helper. And then my third summer, Barty and my dad, we were really into new construction, commercial. So big time commercial business. And he had a sheet metal shop, plasma cutters. We made all our own metal. I got to work in, that department that summer. And I probably put 90 degree bends and thousands of pieces of sheet metal. And man, the next year I got my driver's license and I got my ass the hell out of there. And got a job at a golf course.
That's much further away from what you're doing. Yeah, I could see. So so this is like, I grew up on a farm. And so farming, I respect farmers. It's very, very hard work. I'm the only boy. So if you've never baled hay, if you've never detasseled, you don't know what you're missing, because that is some brutal work there. But I didn't want to farm, so I came the exact opposite and went this route. But go ahead, man. Keep going.
Yeah. So I figured out real quick that I didn't want to work in the business. My dad is, he's an entrepreneur and he's an immigrant. So you put those two things combined and it's really tough to, he runs a tight shop, if that makes sense.
I think so. I'm picking up what you're putting down.
Yeah, for sure. So, ended up going to college, wasting a couple years in college, looking back, the pressure from the fam and just the pressure of, society to go to college and whatnot, wasted some time there and, got out of there and got a job, painting houses. So kind of got back into the trades a little bit doing that. And we were painting new construction houses and I did that for about a year and I figured out, I'm like, man, I think I can start my own business doing this. So I started a painting company, Barty Painting. This was 2003, 2004-ish. And I was like 21, 22 years old, grew that business, to about 3 employees. I had a good subcontractor crew that helped me out when we got really busy. And I thought I had it made. I was in my 20s. I was playing golf a couple times a week. I wasn't painting anymore. I had a house. I was single, had a dog. Like, life was great. I was cruising. And 2008, 2009 happened. The recession hit.
Yep.
And I got my ass kicked. Learned a lot of valuable lessons. 90% of my revenue was new construction.
Ooh.
So, yeah, we were painting, big houses, big million-dollar houses. So it went away pretty quick. And I ended up winding down Barty Painting over about a 12-month span. And 2010-ish, my dad, calls me. He's like, hey, I think we should have lunch. When that happens, I'm like, okay, this is going to be a serious conversation. And he ended up asking me to come back to work at Barty. So about 2010, I thought about it for, 3 or 4 months and, ended up coming back to the business. And I just kind of worked my way up the ladder. And I started at the bottom, started as a delivery driver and making like $16 an hour. And
that was when?
This was 2010.
Okay.
So Barty, back then was really two different businesses, pretty large, $30, $40 million commercial business. And then the residential business was pretty small back then.
Got it.
Did that, swept the floors, made deliveries, did what I had to do. And I decided that, I wanted to actually learn how to run service. So I moved into that department, went back to tech school, went to tech school at night, worked during the day, And just kind of over the next 4 years, 5 years, just had the opportunity to kind of do every job, you know, in the department. So, you know, book calls, dispatch, run sales calls, and just really learn the business. I was able to get into management like in 2014. And then 2017, my parents sold the commercial business to two internal candidates, the COO and the VP of sales. And then I purchased the residential business in 2018.
Got it. So you have your beautiful wife, Heather, and you have two little girls?
I do. Yep, and three and five.
So when did you and Heather meet through all this?
So we got reunited through a mutual friend, 2012-ish. So I was still in a service truck running service when we were dating.
Got it. So the reason I bring that up is because I think the majority of even our listeners are, you know, it's the juggle that you have to pay attention to. And especially when you're trying to build and grow the business, like playing golf is non-existent because if you're in the beginning, you're grinding so hard that just requires so much attention, but you have to, I made this mistake and I've got four kids. I made the mistake of working stupid hours. Like my balance was way, way, way off in the beginning. So like the first 8 years, maybe even 10 years, man, we just grinded. And I just said, I missed too much of the first kid stuff. I will not do this again with the next one. And now I've had, you know, I've got four, but I really had to figure out that balance. And it's hard because you have people depending on you too at your business as well, who are, you know, to grow the business and focus on it and try to do all the new things and learn. And it's a lot. So it's important for you listeners to know too, like that. And I wanted Adam to share that, you know, he's doing this while also starting to build out, you know, build his personal life and grow his family too.
Yeah, it was tough in the beginning. I remember probably for a year straight when I was a service tech, Heather would call me every day at 5 o'clock. When are you going to be home?
Yeah.
I have no idea, babe. See you when I get there, right? It's 90 degrees. We got calls to run. We got, you know, things to make happen. So.
Yeah. And you work through it. And so it's just part of the deal. And I'm sure all of you listeners can relate to that exact same thing that Adam just said. Hey, when you coming home? Don't know. I mean, because you have to, you know, make hay. And when, especially when it's hot, you got to go and try and get after it and get as much done as you possibly can. So you had this, like, in the past 4 years, and you've seen a real nice uptick in growth. And I've had the luxury of you being a customer of Rhino since, like, I think you came on board early 2020. Like, this was just after like the whole COVID thing hit, and you were one of those that chose to kind of double down and get after it because people were going to be home. Smart move. And we came on board quickly. We hit it off, you know, fast, you and I, and it's been fun for me to also watch your growth from my end of the spectrum. So, but you saw like this nice jump in growth over the past 4 years. Was there something that like just clicked? Like what happened there that catapulted that growth? And really maybe it was that, you know, COVID happened and you did come out aggressive, and we knew people were going to be home. So we knew people were going to use the HVAC, their furnace or their air conditioners more, or plumbing and flush and stuff. So what was it? Was there something that like clicked there? Like what happened there?
You know, I think there was a handful of things, right? Not just one thing.
Sure.
You know, one of the big things that's helped me is, you know, learning from others, going to other people's shops, and just really seeing what's possible, you know, and that really lit a fire under my ass.
Yeah.
To be able to grow the business, you know, because we were 4 million, 20 employees, and then you walk into a $100 million shop and you're like, okay. You know, so just really being able to spend time with other people that are where you want to go, right? So we did that, of course, earlier than 2020, you know, kind of in the beginning.
Right.
But yeah, you know, me and my GM, we would make those trips, come back. And I think the big difference is we just implemented what we learned. You know, a lot of people, you know, have trouble implementing or don't implement and whatnot. So that was a big piece for us for sure.
Got it.
So, you know, one of the other pieces is, you know, figuring out pretty quick that once you make, you can make the phone ring, you got to be able to attract talent and hire people. You know, if you walk around my office, my leadership team will, you know, they'll tell you it's super easy to make the phone ring and get the calls. Like, that's the easiest part, in my opinion, of this business, you know. But, you know, that's really what we're focused on now is, you know, attracting and hiring people and the marketing piece, right? Being, having great partners, you know, like Rhino, to make sure that we're not, you know, worried about having opportunities.
Well, I'm going to brag on you for a second. You cool if I do that?
Sure.
So I was just looking at your May numbers, and I'm gonna just share some high level with you. Are you cool with me doing that?
Yeah. Go ahead, man. Put me on the spot. I like
it. So you say that, you know, like leads, you know, the leads part is the easiest part. And I would say that there's probably plenty of listeners on here right now that are saying bullshit, like, not for me. So it is for you, but you've done things you have to focus on the brand of the business. Like, there's things that have to line up for you to really maximize lead volume. Sure. But also gotten more and more and more aggressive over the last few years, like, you know, on spending to make that happen. But we spend because you know exactly what's coming from the spend. So it makes it a lot easier. It's more predictable that way. You're not as scared to spend more when you know what you're going to get. That's the whole foundation of this, of Rhino. The company was built on exactly that. But I want to brag on you for a second, because when I looked at your May numbers and overall, I saw a 120 new drain leads come in, 68 HVAC install leads, 590 HVAC service leads, 226 plumbing service leads, 77 water heater leads, plumbing install leads, 26. These are new customers, listeners, new customers, not past referrals, none of that shit, new. But so that's a total of 659 new HVAC leads that came through in the month of May, and 342 plumbing. It's 1,001 combined. But you know what impresses me even more, Adam, is your booking rate is 66.21% on new business. That is new business, listeners, not total. It's way higher on total. New business at 66% booking rate is fantastic, man. Like, congratulations. That's badass.
Appreciate that.
So I see why you need some people, man. Like, and I'm bragging on you, and I'm just, it's always cool when I get, when you're our customer, which is great, but you're not just doing, like, it's not just like we're the only thing that's producing that. You've done other things too. Like, you do some TV stuff, like, you have other things that you're doing. So, real quickly, I'm going to hit on that towards the end on your marketing mix, because I think some of the listeners are going to want to hear from your perspective on what that looks like. But something else you also have to work on, and I have to do the exact same thing, as my company grows, the bigger, you know, as big as the company gets, like, every day that it gets bigger is the size of company I've never run before, right? So I'm constantly trying to work on myself and how to manage to what I've got. What are you doing to make you better as a leader, as an operator? Like, what is it that you're doing to focus on Adam?
A couple different things. I'm super focused on who I'm surrounding myself with, personally and professionally. Right. So, I'm a member of, Vistage. I don't know if you've ever heard of it.
Yep.
CEO group. So there's 12 or 13 of us. We meet once a month. You know, it's kind of like my board of directors, right? And we're processing issues. You know, we have speakers in once a month, and, you know, I'm the youngest guy in the room. So I get so much wisdom from that group. And the best thing about it is how different we have all the industries that are in there. So, you know, there's construction finance, there's attorneys, there's CPAs, there's so many different perspectives. So when you do have a roadblock, whatever it might be, you know, personnel, comp, you know, scaling, acquisitions, more than likely there's going to be somebody in that room that's been there, done that, that can kind of help me through it.
Yeah.
That's been huge. I've been a part of that for, I think, 5 or 6 years now. So, I'm super conscious about the content that I'm consuming, right? Everything's positive. Lots of podcasts to make sure that I'm a great operator, like Rhino X, right? Listening to this podcast, going to Rhino X, doing stuff like that. I'm not a huge, I struggle with reading books and listening to books. Yeah. I got ADD. Yep. I'm probably dyslexic, all types of things. It's hard for me to retain that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I struggle with that stuff too.
Yeah. And then I'm a huge sports guy. So I watch a lot of sports, and I think there's a ton of things you can learn from how a professional sports organization is run, good and bad, right? They make a lot of mistakes, but most of the time that those organizations are run and they operate on a higher level than most businesses. So those are kind of the three things I'm focused on.
Got it. Hey, I'm going to ask you a quick favor. Take your cell phone and put it in your pocket. So that way we don't have to hear it buzz the whole time on the microphone. Listeners, if you're wondering what that noise was, that's Adam's phone blowing up. You know what? Cause it's busy. It's summertime in Hotlanta.
Sitting on my couch in my office.
So thanks for sharing. And like you said, you shop visits are incredibly important because like I'm a big visionary guy, and by going and seeing things allows you to, I think, get more clear on your vision when you can go and see them and talk about some of the things that they've done and built. And I'm a big believer in that because, if you're sitting at 5 million right now, if you're sitting at 10 million right now, and you want to go and visit $100 million shop or even like the bigger shops, maybe start considering going and seeing somebody who's 20 to 30 or even 50 at your top end, that might be a little bit more clear for you to see and understand, would be a really good suggestion because it's just a little bit more attainable for where you're at that moment. And obviously to each their own, but to me, that seems to make a lot of sense because, if your dream is, if your goal is too big, it's a dream. Like you're not there yet. So dreams are good, but you got to have realistic goals along the way that you can actually hit and check the box. So going and seeing shops that I think are a little bit closer in size, like what's your next step, in your path to 100 million or whatever is really important. Constant education is huge. And being, I think, vulnerable enough or humble enough to not know and to say you don't know, to learn all the, to learn and ask questions. The guys from Visage have reached out to me like no short of 100 times here in Phoenix, and I've never done it. And part of it is because think about the education I get on a weekly basis, Adam, just from doing the podcast. Like I learned so much being in here, and I've worked with some of the biggest companies in the United States of America in the home services space, and I have them as friends. And so I get to lean a lot. I had Gary Vee, obviously, from the marketing side to lean on. So I still do things to try and constantly learn as well. But you had mentioned Rhino X and you came to the very first one, the inaugural Rhino X Service Summit, here in Phoenix, Arizona. So you actually got to meet Gary Vee.
Badass. Yeah.
And the whole purpose of me putting that thing on was to do exactly what I'm just talking about with you on, what can I do to bring all these people I've met in my 15 years of working in the home services space and all the relationships I have and the businesses I've worked with that I've seen build and become like these amazing things. And I just saw so many people wanting to be helpful during COVID that I was like, you know what? I'm going to bring all my friends together and keep it small, keep it intimate. So that way it's meaningful. It's not just some other conference you roll out to and like sit and take notes and meet some guys and drink some beers and then you leave. Like I didn't want it to be any part of that. I want it to be small and intimate. And we accomplished that. And so, you came down to the first Rhino X and, I got to ask you, what was your biggest takeaway from it? And was there anything that you took back and implemented at Barty?
Yeah, there's a couple of things. I mean, it's always, fascinating to me to be in a small room, intimate. I think there was like maybe 25 people there.
Yeah. Yep.
It was crazy. So, you get to listen to, Goodrich and Kenny Haynes and Leland, all those guys just answer questions off the hip. Super cool. Got a lot of insight there. But for me, and of course, Gary V.
Right.
You know, we talked a little bit about wine for sure. You know, I'm a huge wine guy. But you know, the sidebar conversations that you get to have with different operators, had some great conversations with Chad Peterman, you know, just about, cause he, at the time, I think he was a little bit more than double where we were at.
Yep.
So, you know, just, and I, to your point, earlier, I think it's important because when you are 5 or 10 million, you go see a $1 million shop. A lot of times the operator can't remember what it was like to be 5 or 10 million, you know? So if you can catch a guy that's a little bit ahead of you or pacing a little bit farther, you know, in front of you, I think there's some real good advice. So we talked about recruiting, you know, and scaling and how he's, you know, launching the academy and just giving me feedback on, you know, he would have done that a lot earlier, you know, ultimately where I was in my business from a revenue standpoint. And you know, that was huge. And I took that back, hired another recruiter. We're currently working on launching the academy, where we just leased another 10,000 feet a space in our building to get that going.
Is it called the Barty Hardy Academy or Barty B?
Barty Hardy University.
Barty Hardy University. Hell yeah, that's perfect. Barty Hardy U. That's actually really perfect.
That's it. So yeah, you know, you're going to get big ideas. There were some other small things, you know, the blocking and tackling. I was able to talk to, you know, Ken Goodrich and asked him a simple question about labor warranties for HVAC and, you know, just his thought process. And does he keep them in house? Does he do third party, pros and cons? And that conversation, you know, at dinner changed my course on how we handled that moving forward. Cause I would have not say made the wrong decision, but I would have made a different decision if I wouldn't have that conversation. So I think those are two huge takeaways.
Yeah, that's perfect. And that's the whole point, right? Is when you're in more of an intimate setting like that, it's easier to approach, you know, to approach these guys and ask the questions because you're not fighting for their attention. Like even though with 25 people, you still had plenty of time. I tried to create the setting to where you had plenty of time to make that connection.
Yeah.
And so ironically, Chad, also, you know, Chad Peterman and I are buddies and was a great customer of mine too. He went back in, he came back to Rhino X again, this year. And I actually had him present on, Peterman Top Tech Academy on like how he went about, you know, teeing that up in hopes of like others would hear like what he's been doing from a recruiting standpoint. And just to give some alternatives and obviously he crushed it. He's a very, very intelligent guy. But that's the whole point of it was just to bring him, you know, and these guys have committed, you know, to next year as well. And, you know, this year we had Leland and Terry Nicholson came out and Goodrich and, oh my gosh, Geiger. Thanks, Dave. Dave came out. But I want to know, because this is certainly something you didn't take away from Rhino X and I'm aware of, but I've seen some of your videos and you guys have had some creative videos that you've put out there, but there and a lot of great culture videos I've seen Barty post too, which is great for recruiting and things like that. But I got to know, I saw this dude running around with like an orange mohawk, which I love orange. So immediately I'm attracted to it. And he was called FOB man. Who in the hell is FOB man?
Well, technically, he's my general manager's alter ego. So if you close your eyes, you know, he's got a blue leotard with this huge 1-foot-tall orange mohawk. And if you ever watch wrestling like WWE, he kind of sounds like The Rock, you know, talks in first person, and he might give you the people's elbow. So. But yeah, he's so FOB man, you know, it came out of a bunch of different things, but ultimately it was born because we were trying to have fun in the office during the week of Halloween. We had a little costume, you know, party or whatever. And gave some prizes away. And my GM came in with this costume on, and our colors are blue and orange. And just, it came out of us so focused on growing our memberships, right, and creating contests. And I saw this costume and I'm like, dude, you're FOB, man. And our memberships are called Friends of Barty.
Got it.
So we shorted it up. So he's FOB, man. And FOB man makes guest appearances at most company events, whether it's a monthly meeting where we're just having breakfast and having fun and you know, recognizing people on a monthly basis, celebrating, you know, records being broken. Or he might even come out to the Christmas party and do a little karaoke. You just never know. It's a wild card.
FOB man. Hey, what's your GM's actual name besides FOB man?
Justin.
Shout out to you, man. Well done. Hey, Zach, who does all of our show notes, and he's listening to this because he has to. We got to make sure we get a picture of FOB man and post it in the show notes with the blog on the Rhino page. So let's note that. So let's talk about that, because you mentioned like FOB stands for Friends of Barty, and it's kind of goes along. It's what your maintenance agreement, your service agreement stuff is, and you've had a lot of great success with it. I love asking this question. We had on Jamie DiDomenico, I can't remember which episode it was. And he was talking about how he grew cool today down in South Florida, on his maintenance agreements and service agreements and his like kind of, spin on how they had done it. So I'm curious, because you've had a lot of great success with it as well. Like, what's your secret? What are you guys doing that's making it so successful?
I don't know if it's a secret, you know, but I looked at our membership group, you know, and I think about, you know, how much more successful will we be, you know, if we can just service members, right? Now, new customers are the lifeblood of a service business, right? But, you know, when we look at our members, we have higher average tickets. We got higher conversion rates. We got all those things, you know, when we're in those members' homes. But, you know, some of the blocking and tackling things that we were able to do is, first, we had to get the leadership team really bought in to pushing that initiative. And so we're Nexstar members. So they've got a KPI and a benchmark and industry standard for everything. And we learned that 25% conversion rate for a new client to a member is kind of their standard. So we quickly focused on that KPI daily, right? We made sure that we dispatched, you know, the best converting technician to those new clients. And pretty quickly, we looked up and we were converting as a company at, you know, 35-40%.
Nice. Is there anything that you've added to this thing to like, that makes it different? Is it like, is there anything that you've thought about kind of doing something a little bit different to try and like stand out from like the regular SLAs or service level agreements?
Yeah, we've thought about some things. We've thought about having different levels. You know, I loved Jamie's podcast. He's got a couple different levels of memberships.
Right.
For me, I just feel like that complicates the business. I'm gonna keep it simple. One membership. Let's really focus on making sure the team knows all the components of it, you know. And if you offer it to every client that you see, that's really the magic.
Got it.
You know, you gotta offer it. You gotta offer it.
Got it. Well, obviously it's an important part to growth is those memberships. Now I want to kind of jump into, the other part of this growth piece. And when we kind of started talking a little bit about it, but the marketing mix and like the strategy that you guys have used down there. I mean, Atlanta's a super competitive market. And so, you know, you have to be a little bit aggressive. If you have, if you're in like any, I would say market that's say 500,000 population and up, and you have very minimal like brand equity. You got to be a little bit more aggressive on like direct lead gen. It's just part of the game. So, but you've done a great job, I think, with your marketing mix of doing some good branding, but also doing like direct lead generation. And a lot of people will ask me, hey Chris, like what's a good marketing mix? You know, if I'm going to, should I be spending 10% of my budget? Is it 8%? Is it whatever? And I'm kind of the mindset of like, that can change based on where you're at. and what your business looks like and your staffing even, but you got to be able to have some sort of plan in place for it. So regardless of whether you spend 8%, 10%, 12%, whatever of that marketing budget, do you have like a specific mix? You're like, hey, we spend, 30% on digital. We spend 20% on TV. Is there like some mix that you have that you guys go by? What's the strategy?
So, yeah, it's definitely, we got a pretty good strategy. When it comes to the marketing piece, I feel like, I'd say, 30 to 40% we're spending on TV and OTT. And then the other 40% we're spending on digital. So, all the things digital, SEO, PPC, local ads, retargeting, all that stuff. And until you maximize digital, I don't really think you should do anything else. Yard signs, social stuff that's very inexpensive, more guerrilla marketing. Of course, do that, email, text marketing, things like that. But, and one of the reasons that I chose to start doing TV in 2018 was because radio is so crowded in my market. Like there's 30 competitors on every station, it felt like. And, we just didn't have the spend to really stand out. So we went a different route and focused on TV. And OTT and did that. We are spending some money on direct mail, not a ton of prospecting, really more focused on our current customer base. So we're hitting them every month, hitting members every month, and customers that we've seen and done business with over the last 18 to 20 months, just to stay in front of them, continue to build that fence. And we just started back doing radio. So we're on one of the sports talk stations, the biggest one. And really the reason for that was because I feel like I was missing a segment of those clients, with TV. So.
Got it. Well, so one major thing that I think that matters is, and I'm sure you'll attest to this, and when it comes to traditional, is consistency, and repetition, that you have to, you can't just throw this shit out there and think in 3 months it's going to start producing all this volume. The consistency matters. So you can, branding, you just kind of have to have the right expectation of it is no quick fix. The digital marketing world is your quick fix. It's just that if you don't have the brand, expect the cost per lead to be a little bit higher because you don't have the brand equity, which certainly helps with conversion rates. But in regards to traditional, you just got to be patient. It sucks. It's not the best answer you want to hear, but everybody has to go through it. So it's not like you're by yourself. You got to go through it, especially, in a market that's as competitive as yours, where there's some monster brands there.
There are. Yeah. I mean, we've got 7 million people in our market, not as big as some of the other ones, but there's plenty of market share. And to your point, traditional doing TV, it was slow. But we made the commitment to do it 12 months out of the year and just really focus on our brand. And one of the super cool things actually happened last month is I had to turn pay-per-click off. or turn it way down, right?
Yeah.
Because we've got that brand and we're starting to get that recognition and we're getting everything's converting way better. Everything converts better.
Yeah. But isn't it nice that you get to use that as a throttle? You know what I mean?
It's a beautiful thing. Yeah. I'm sure some of your team probably are like, Jesus, this guy's texting me again.
No, because you're one of many that do the exact same thing, but that's also the value of a partnership with us, right? Is it's supposed to be like that. Like we are an extension of your team.
Oh yeah. No, 100%. We make those adjustments, not daily, but we definitely look at it weekly and we're turning it up. We're turning it down based on, filling the board.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It makes sense. And we have your stuff so broken down into water heaters and, sump pumps and septic and all the shit split out.
That's a beautiful thing. When you partner with Rhino, we're going to be able to track it all. You're going to know, right? And that gives me confidence to pull the lever when we do have, you know, opportunity or the weather hits 90. Like last week, man, we hit 100 degrees. Now, I know that's not a big deal in Phoenix, but here, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
So, we were able to, really capitalize on those opportunities.
Oh, yeah, man. Triple digits. I mean, we pay attention to weather in here on a daily basis. So it's part of our world, too. Well, thanks for sharing that. I want to ask a quick question before I move on to the next one, but you mentioned OTT, which is over the top. That's streaming video, like that type of stuff for the listeners who don't know what that is. And it's becoming more and more popular. It's like a newer version of traditional like TV, except you can like track it, which is cool. There's a digital face to it. So it's something I've been flirting with at Rhino on doing and offering more of it and beta testing it and things like that, just because I love how you can take a unique video and send it to a specific zip code and you can track what comes from it. So to me, I want to know exact numbers for everything. And it's just something that it's been intriguing me more and more. How's it working for you? I mean, I don't know how long you've been doing that, like, and how's it working?
So we've been doing it 2-3 years now. And I love it because, to your point, we can track it.
Yep.
And we can build the audience, right? Just like you can digitally, geographically, credit score, income, household, all the things, and you can directly send someone, your commercial. And of course, OTT, you're dealing with the cord cutters, typically. Yep. The people that, don't have traditional cable that are subscribing to like a Hulu or, all those different outlets, they're consuming it differently. But yeah, it's worked great. We can track it. Impressions are excellent. And it shows up on the RhinoTrax report.
Sure does. Sure does. Well, we had all of we did our mid-year kickoff. We do, we were bringing all the employees in town and we just kind of do a check-in, like, mid-year, how's things going? How are we tracking to what our plans were and like what's to come and things like that. And we asked that question of all of our staff. We have 80 plus full-timer rhinos, sitting in the room. And we said, how many people in here are cord cutters who watch streaming? And like 80% of the room raised their hands. Like, I'm that. I watch. The only reason I keep DirecTV is so I can watch Big Ten Channel when Purdue plays, because I'm in Phoenix. So if I can find that somewhere that's not online, I don't have to keep it, it's gone. But so I keep them both. But important one, I think that it's to pick close to, it's to pay attention to. But the important piece to also making it work is having really good creative too, that, you have the flexibility to be unique to that demographic. That is important. So I want to finish with this piece of it. And I thought about it last second because I was having a conversation about this with someone yesterday, and it's around like the lifetime value of a customer. And often I talk to people who aren't really looking at it from that perspective. They're looking at it too nearsighted on trying to bring in a customer and thinking about what's this customer going to be, right now. Like, hey, I paid, $100 and my average, cost per lead is $113, this month for a new HVAC customer. And it ended up being a service call. Well, they locked them down on a service call and got a maintenance agreement out of it. So short-sighted. Yeah. I mean, was that a valuable customer? Maybe not. You're going to win some and lose some, but the lifetime value of that customer needs to be taken into consideration. And a lot of people don't do that. So is that something that and I've never had this conversation, but is that something that you pay attention to, is the lifetime value of a customer?
I would want to say I need to focus on it more. I think that there's, kind of three components, right? You always hear about what is the lifetime value of a customer? How much is it, right? What are we putting in the cash register? I've heard 8, 15, $25,000, right? So a ton of money there. But what I think is important are really two things, is if you can retain, right? And not just be transactional, get the client in, change a capacitor, change a flap or whatever, and move on to the next one. You never contact them. You never send them another piece of mail. You never reach back out to them to get, get them back on your schedule, sell them a membership. You're going to struggle scaling your business, period. You know, cause you paid for that lead.
Right.
Right. So, you know, how can we get them, you know, back through the call center and back in front of them? The other piece that is the most important to me is my reputation, Barty's reputation, right? Cause if you're not doing the right thing, providing good service and making people smile, then they're going to tell all their friends, they're going to post on social media next door, all the things we already know.
Oh yeah.
Right. Reviews are huge for me. We've got like over 20,000.
Yeah. 20,000 five-star reviews. Like it's insane.
Yeah. So, you know, reputation's huge. And if you, you know, we're in over 100 houses a day, it's inevitable that we're going to piss somebody off.
Yep.
Right. We're all humans. But it's all about how fast you fix it is what I found. And if, you know, a client calls in and had a bad experience or whatever it is, you fix it with speed and you can usually, you know, keep them as a client and keep them coming back to use your services.
Yeah, dude. I think that what you can be proud of and pat yourself on the back for and your team really is when you look at the fact that you have over 20,000, five-star reviews, that's pretty awesome. And that says a lot about the business. And, when I talk to my team about using the word reputable, it's like, what's the measurement tool that you can use for reputation? And, you know, and from an employee perspective, you can use those reviews that are on Indeed, you know, or wherever your, whatever the hiring platform is that you use, that kind of tells you a lot about, I think, your culture of your business. Like that's an outside, you know, outside looking in type of view of how your business is viewed to work for. Like that's one piece of it, right? And then like, so we use Indeed and I love seeing the different reviews and stuff on there. But then the external is, you know, the reviews that you're getting are what now your customer is. So that's the client fulfillment piece that's saying, not only is it fun to work and good to work for Barty and they feel cared about and they feel like they got a good career path and all these things, but we also really care about client fulfillment. And that's how I can value reputation, right? Is like, that's the metrics I can use to say, you know, how good is our reputation? It matters to me. You know, the vision of Rhino is we want to be the most reputable digital marketing company for the home services industry in all English speaking markets. That's my BHAG, right? My big, hairy, audacious goal. You know, US, Canada, Australia is where we're at now, but those are the two metrics I'm using. So you can do the exact same thing because you've got that. So yes, you're growing a business and you're doing it the right way. And you got to be proud, dude. Like you have got to be proud of what you're building. And I know you and well enough to know, like you feel like you're still just kind of like getting started and you still got like this rocket ship you want to hop on. So like what's next for Barty, dude? Like what's going on? Like, have you been thinking about this? Maybe you don't want to share. Maybe you will share. Like what's on your mind?
You know, I think it's keep doing what we're doing, right? You know, there's private equity is out there. There's a lot of temptation. You know, letters, emails, phone calls.
Oh yeah,
it's exhausting, right?
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to go down that path. I feel like I've got some stuff to prove. We haven't hit our goal. So, you know, our BHAG when I bought the business 4 years ago was. We want to be a $50 million business and which is the most important is we want it to be the best home services company to work for in our market in Atlanta, you know, and I know I didn't really mention that when we were talking about the success and the growth, but I think that plays a huge part in it. Just having happy team members and really putting them first and the rest comes, you know, the rest comes. So yeah, you know, we're going to keep scaling the business, keep hiring great people. Hopefully we'll be able to do some tuck-ins and some small acquisitions to keep that going. But getting the calls is easy. You know, we got to scale the people, the workforce, right?
Yeah. I got an idea on that too, by the way, but I'm not going to share it on here because I don't want to give it to anybody else. So sorry, listeners, once I get it figured out though, and I'll roll it out and let you know, but I have been flirting with a couple of things that have been helping with recruiting. Cause as you can imagine, like even in my 15 years, it's always been an issue is this recruiting piece of it. So for me, you know, it's in my best interest to help you keep that lead volume on, right? because if you're keeping it on, then, you know, I'm still growing too. As you pause it, I don't necessarily grow, and neither are you, because you're pausing. You don't have the bodies to run the lead volume. It's not that you don't want to, you don't have the bodies. So, so I want to solve that problem too. So I've always kind of flirted with different things on recruiting, on how can I do things. And some of the stuff I've been trying is starting to work, and I'm measuring it, but I need to have enough case studies. So offline, I'll text you, man, and tell you what I'm doing. I didn't think about it until just now. So, yeah, I mean, you're in definitely one of those markets where you could even, you going from 25 to 50, you could do that organically, even if you didn't do a tuck in and the market that you're in. So, you know, and I don't know how much of that mix is between HVAC and plumbing. I'm assuming the HVAC side is bigger than the plumbing side, but, you know, that doesn't mean you have to go out and add electrical. If you're on here listening and you think he needs to create the Holy Trinity, like right out of, like, to hit that number, that's certainly not the case. I don't believe that. I mean, if you don't feel like you've, like, hammered out and done all things you can do in HVAC or plumbing, then why are we going to move on to something else? Unless some, like, great opportunity falls in your lap where you've got somebody who can actually run that and operate it, then it's a different story. But you got plenty of opportunity for organic growth through there as well.
Yeah. Adding another trade, could be a huge distraction for sure. So yeah, we're not gonna, it was tempting to do it. Think about it in the past. We're going to hold off on electrical until we hit 50. You know, we really focus on HVAC. Our split is 80-20. So we're heavy HVAC. I love the plumbing business. It's a great business. I always say it's July all the time in plumbing.
Yep.
The calls never stop. It's a beautiful thing. So we're focused on growing that business and scaling it. And, you know, I would love to get to where it's a 50-50 split, revenue split. That's going to be tough, because the sales team's killing it and the average tickets are getting big, you know, in HVAC. You know, I think our average ticket right now is like 13.5 or 14 grand. So
nice.
Someone's got its work cut out for him.
Well, listen, man, like, congratulations. It's just cool to see, like, I can remember early on how adamant you were when you and I were having strategic conversations on just hammering drain cleaning, like hammering it, and us trying to, like, really figure that piece out. And it's actually kind of a pain in the ass from a digital marketing perspective, because you have to be creative on what type of content you put in the ad. So you're not trying to get the DIYer who's searching for drain cleaning and looking for a solution, and you just spent $80 or some shit for that lead. Like, you have to be pay super close attention to it. So, but I mean, let's just see, where were you at? Oh, 120 new drain cleaning leads for the month of May. Like, all right, cool. But it's that plumbing is significantly easier, and it's certainly, anytime you have both, it's a great compliment to the HVAC business. But listen, overall, man, like, I'm incredibly impressed. I'm sure that, you know, Heather's probably super proud of what you've built too. And I'm grateful to be your friend, dude. And it's, you know, like, you and I have messaged, you know, plenty back and forth, and it's equally as rewarding for me to have you on this podcast right now, knowing that we're playing a small part, you know, in your journey. And so I'm grateful for that, but dude, I'm just excited for you. You know, this is the fun stuff.
It is. Nah, man, it's been fun. My team is amazing. They're the ones that are pulling it off. And I'm more of a visionary guy, but yeah, it's definitely fun when you're winning and growing the business. And I'm looking forward to, you know, what the future holds, and hopefully we can get maybe a little bumpy recession, and we can drive that unemployment up so I can hire more people.
Well, you might get your wish. Yeah. Well, listen, I know you're being humble, but you are the one that carries it on your back, right? Like, you're the one, like, you could have not done this. So, like, you can, your team is clearly doing a great job too, but you're also being a good leader there, man. So, like, Take that compliment.
Appreciate it.
And also now we know, like, we got Barty B. Like, I'm literally changing your name in my phone to Barty B. That's what it's going to be. And from this podcast, we also got Barty Hardy University. Like, this was already a win. Hey, I'm sending my video guys out, you know, next month to create videos on Barty Hardy University. Well, Well, dude, listen, keep kicking ass, man. And thanks for spending the time with me. I think we're about an hour into this thing too. And thanks for indulging with me in the Name That Rapper thing. I've never done that before. I might do it again. I don't know. We'll see. It just made sense because it was Hotlanta, but thanks for being on here, bro. I appreciate you.
No, it was fun. Appreciate the opportunity. And, you know, I love this podcast. I mean, it's been a lot of help for me as well.
Oh man, I appreciate that. Hey, listen, for any of our listeners that might want to connect with you, are you cool with sharing your contact info, or would you rather have them go through us? Like, you know, cause I know you like giving back and helping is something that's as big to you as it is to me. So, this is my way of saying, hey man, you want to share your information so these guys can potentially connect with you and ask you.
Yeah. Absolutely. Now, giving back is super important to me. So two ways, you can get in touch with me is shoot me an email at adambardi@bardi.com, B-A-R-D-I. Or shoot me a text on my cell, 678-409-5402.
Be ready, bro. You just gave your cell phone number. So I know my listeners, boy, they're going to reach out to you. And it's cool. I love that type of stuff. And so thanks for sharing that, man. I appreciate, you know, your willingness to give back to your peers and stuff like that too. And you know, again, another reason why you and I click, man, is like, we're kind of cut from the same cloth a bit. And I'm just excited to kind of see you get to that 50 million number. I know it's, you know, I'm not even like questioning if it's going to happen. I know it's going to happen. And I'm excited to be, you know, a little part of it and be your friend along the way and bounce stuff off of you too. And so, you know, I just want to encourage our listeners, you know, I always love sharing reviews from these podcasts with the guests, and we've been able to do that quite a bit lately. So as I've been mentioning it more and more, and I'd love the same thing here. I mean, there's some good nuggets that Adam has dropped in here, and a lot of you that are in that like 4 million to say 20 million or 25 million range could probably picture like the same, you've been in the same position, these same things, having the same thoughts, having the same issues, all this stuff. Like, so why not reach out to your peers, you know, and people like Adam who can help maybe unlock something for you or uncover something for you that just maybe that's right in front of your face, but you're just not seeing. And he's a little closer in size to you. So I encourage you to do those things, but please, if you like the podcast, leave a review. It means a lot to me to be able to read it. And I'm going to finish with, a review that was, written from Raging Rudy. Okay. Raging Rudy says, from Let's Go, to Let's Go all caps. All right. Let's Go to Let's Go all caps. So, you know, small to big. 5 stars. Taking over my father's business. Ooh, this worked out all right, didn't it? Taking over my father's business, singing the same tune as most. Installer, tech, sales, management, etc. Watching my parents suffer burnout and hard times gave me perspective to overcome, but little guidance to back. Joining a best practice group got us in the right direction, but catching up on most of these podcasts in the past 2 months has opened my eyes to a bigger vision and brighter future for the growth of my business, legacy for my father, family, but most importantly, the opportunity of unlimited success for my team. That's really great. And it says, thank you, Chris, and all of your hosts for being vulnerable and sharing with us. The invaluable knowledge will be applied to also give back to the industry and hopefully one day strive to be on this podcast. Hell yeah. I love that. So Raging Rudy, I don't know who you are, but feel free to reach out to me directly and let me know when you hear this podcast, who you are, so I can get you on my radar as a podcast guest. So, I'd be happy to do that if this pans out. So, but appreciate those reviews. And again, if you leave one for Adam too from this podcast, we're going to share it with him as well. So I look forward to that. But again, brother, I appreciate you so much. Thanks for being on here.
Amen. Appreciate you.
And then listeners, again, like, you know, you don't got to do everything, but do something. No, 0 days. Listeners, thank you so much again for listening to this podcast week after week. We are extremely grateful. Again, the whole purpose of this podcast is to give back to the home services industry that we love so much, whether you're a rhino or not. We really, really appreciate all the subscribers. And if you haven't subscribed yet, please go in and subscribe and you'll get all the episodes sent to you automatically weekly. Also, we have really enjoyed your feedback. It's so meaningful for us when we get to read the nice comments that you guys put. So keep doing that. And if you don't know how to do it, here's what you got to do. You search for To The Point Home Services on Apple Podcasts. You click on our profile, scroll all the way down to the bottom, and hit write a review. And be honest and share your story and how the podcast has impacted you in your business. Thanks again from the bottom of our hearts at To The Point Home Services Podcast. We appreciate you. Welcome to The Point Home Services, the podcast where real contractors share real strategies. We cut through the noise and get straight to the point with the contractors that are working in the field right now. If you run a home services business and want to lead better, grow faster, and stay sharp, you're in the right place. Now, before we get started, I need you to do one thing. Only 30% of our listeners are following the show. So stop what you're doing, hit follow, and let's get to the point.